Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. We're talking about the perils of Planned Parenthood, and there's many, many issues to be discussed, and today our guest is Penna Dexter. Penna, welcome to our program, and introduce yourself to our guests, please.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. I am the co-host of Point of View Radio Show. It's a two-hour daily nationally syndicated talk show that really deals with sort of cultural issues and current events from a Christian worldview, and I co-host the show with Kirby Anderson. We're on from 1 to 3 and kind of emanate out of Dallas, Texas, but on in, on about 280 stations across the country.
Wonderful. Well, I want to read some statistics for our listeners. We dealt all last month with the issue of the Negro Project with Margaret Sanger and the original intent of Planned Parenthood to wipe out the subhuman races, as they may be called. But here's some statistics from the Family Research Council. The primary provider of abortions in the United States is, guess who? Planned Parenthood. Every 95 seconds, an abortion takes place in one of their clinics. Secondly, they are funded by the government, and the more they are funded by the government, the more the abortion giant also increases in the number of abortions they perform. Thirdly, interesting fact is that when a woman goes into a clinic, and you're going to address this in just a moment for us, Penna, a woman is 340 times more likely to receive an abortion than an abortion referral in those organizational clinics. And then they say 3%, I think you're going to tell us, but approximately 98% of their services is Planned Parenthood. So what actually happens to a woman, Penna, when they walk into one of these clinics by Planned Parenthood?
Well, first of all, Dr. Jones, most of the time, Planned Parenthood will claim that they are sort of a benevolent organization for women, to help women, especially poor women. And if we look at where they're located, many of them are located in minority areas and low-income areas. And so, a lot of times people will go in there to get a pregnancy test, and if they are pregnant, they will be encouraged most of the time to have an abortion. They will not be discouraged from having abortion, let's put it that way. And in many cases, young women are brought in by the person that's gotten them pregnant. And it's been discovered by a lot of investigative reporting by someone I hope you'll have on sometime, Lila Rose, who has gone in undercover as a 15, 14-year-old girl to show that Planned Parenthood is advising young women to lie about their age and the age of their partner to get around statutory rape laws, and also referring them perhaps into another state for their abortion if there are parental notification laws in their state for young women. So there's a lot of, you wouldn't go as far as saying illegal activity going on, although sometimes I think there is, but certainly encouraging people to commit either illegal activity or to skirt the law in various ways. And it's really all about abortion. And you mentioned the stats. They say that 3% of their services are abortion, and then Family Research Council says 98% of what's done is abortion. And that's because Planned Parenthood counts every single thing they do as a service. If they hand you a booklet about contraception, that's a service. If they do a certain test on you, that's a service. So when you go in to get an abortion, you might get three or four services, but the abortion is only going to count as one in their statistics.
Well, it seems very clear that the Planned Parenthood original objective was sterilization to reduce the races, if you will, and there's other factors involved, of course. And now, secondly, now that abortion is legal, they want to push abortion, and they do. They're the nation's largest provider of abortion. But it seems like they wrap themselves around a web of deception for the public. Would you please comment a little bit more on that for us?
I will. We've been hearing in the healthcare debate about federal funding of abortion, and the head of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, has been going around. I think she's had to stop now because she's really been proven to be telling an untruth about this, saying that women aren't going to get their mammograms now, and we're going to have an increase in breast cancer because Planned Parenthood isn't getting their funds. And it's just not true, because there have also been just hundreds of phone calls to try to verify her statements going out to Planned Parenthood clinics. And to the clinic, down to every single clinic, they've either said, we don't do mammograms, you can go down the street and get one, or Planned Parenthood doesn't do mammograms. Planned Parenthood does not do mammograms. And, they do pap smears. they will test for sexually transmitted diseases. But they are being encouraged, even from the top levels of the organization, to do more abortions. And, in fact, they're starting to get a real push that every clinic, that even some that don't do abortions right now, that all would do abortions by the end of the year. Because that's where they make their profit. That's their profit center is the abortion.
Well, that raises an interesting question. They're supposed to be a non-for-profit organization, and yet they make millions of dollars every year in what they do to kill babies. And the second question I have that tags into this is, why does the United States government feel that they must supply money for an organization that makes money to do abortions?
Well, you know, not-for-profit organizations still will have a surplus, as you know, and as many of our listeners will know. So in many cases, you know, they will want to run their organization so that it stands with surplus funds to continue to do what they do. And you're right, though, that our federal government has no business, number one, really shouldn't be funding organizations that have surpluses of money. Let organizations stand on their own. That's just a free market principle. But going beyond that, you know, you've got half the government, really the conservatives in government don't like this. They're fighting against it. It's been a battle royale at the federal level, even on the budget level. And but there's such a commitment to abortion among the left that we still haven't been able to defund it from the federal level. But if you go down to the state level, state after state legislature have been defunding Planned Parenthood or pulling funds. Even in New Jersey, the governor, Governor Christie, vetoed a bill that actually provided funding for Planned Parenthood. I go down the list just from Indiana to New Jersey to Texas, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Dakota, Wisconsin, New Hampshire. So we're not talking just red states that are beginning to see that it's ridiculous for state funds or federal funds to be going to Planned Parenthood.
Well, you could argue against funding abortion on the basis of principle, which we do as Christians, but you could also argue against it on the basis of pragmatism. I mean, here we have a country that's meshed in debt. We've got trillions of dollars of more debt since our president took office, and now they want to continue to spend more money. They can't seem to get the debt ceiling resolved. Here's a simple way to get some of that money back and say, we don't have to fund people who are making enough money to do it themselves.
That would be a good principle.
Why doesn't that work for the Democratic Party, we misidentify here as the main people who want to do this?
It doesn't work because there is an ideological commitment to abortion within the Democratic Party and the left. I remember a tape, I've got it somewhere in my audio file, where President Obama, when he wasn't even a candidate yet, this was in 2007, but he went to Planned Parenthood and talked about the federal funding of Planned Parenthood and how important it was. They knew when they supported him as a candidate for president that they were going to get someone extremely committed to their cause, and he has proved to be so.
Well, that's a real sad commentary on our president at that point, and there's many other comments we could make. But going back to Planned Parenthood, I want to ask this question. Why is abortion such a demanded woman's right when we realize that nobody outside of the Christian faith can really determine whether a baby is alive in the womb? I know sonograms just wrecked their arguments, and we only have a few seconds left here. But comment, please, on the rationale for saying abortion should be supported.
I think the rationale is people need, you know, it sort of comes from the feminist agenda that people need to be able to make choices about their lives. And if you know, a baby gets in the way of that, then, you know, the baby needs to be able to be dealt with. And I think there's also an argument made that some of these babies will require federal services if they end up to be in the world and to be raised because they're coming into poor families. So I think the eugenics argument that goes all the way back to Margaret Sanger is also in play here. I don't think that's ever left.
Well, we're going to deal with the eugenics argument when we get one of the gentlemen from Kirby Anderson's on our program, and we're also going to deal with sex education. But it seems like the answer to teenage pregnancy is not abstinence. It seems to be abortion. And meanwhile, we're very concerned about that. Thank you so much for being our guest today. And listeners, keep staying tuned to our program on Planned Parenthood in the weeks to come. Join us next week at the frontier where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.
Mars Hill Energy Productions.